Here we go. Before we hear God's word, let's think about what we're doing as we hear God's word. Let's read this together. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Well, we're going to hear that word now. So please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. It's on page 977. So I'm reading from the bottom right-hand side there, verse 22. Then they brought Jesus, a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It's only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it's by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep the passage open. We're going to look at that. One big idea that we're going to be thinking about, this idea of danger. I'm going to start with a few quiz questions about danger that are going to come on the slides. We were in a quiz last night as part of our special week of events, and there were some questions we missed, so I've got them here. What is the most venomous snake in the world? The longest venomous snake in the world is the question. Sorry, what is the longest venomous snake in the world? King cobra, anaconda, or garter snake? Someone says garter snake. Let's go to the next slide. It's actually the king cobra, which lives in Asia and Africa. It's apparently very shy, but one bite has enough poison to kill 20 people. That's a lot of poison, isn't it? It's a lot of venom. Next question. What animal is known to eat its prey alive? A cone snail, a monitor lizard, or a piranha? Piranha. We know that one from the scary films, don't we? Let's have a look. Yeah, piranha have very sharp teeth and eat the flesh from animals they're attacking. The living flesh. A horrible thing, isn't it? Next one. What is the most dangerous fly in the world? Housefly, dragonfly, tsetse fly. Tsetse fly, yeah. Tsetse fly carries a disease that causes sleeping sickness in humans. Terrible thing. Next one. What is known as the most deadly sea animal out of these? A whale shark, piranha, box jellyfish. We've already had piranha, haven't we? Why do you think box jellyfish, Heather? It sounds bad. Let's have a look. Yeah, the box jellyfish has lethal venom that can easily kill a human. It's got little sort of barbs that push the venom into people, apparently. Or into its victims. What is that? Here's a slightly different one, switching out of animals. What is the most dangerous beach in the world? Fraser Island, which is just off Australia, Bluff Cove in Alaska, or Coral Bay in Indonesia? It's going to be a bit of a guess, this one, isn't it? Unless you've been. You reckon it's Indonesia, Aggie? Any other guesses? Let's have a look. Fraser Island has got sharks and jellyfish in the water, wild dogs on the beach, and there's no medical facilities. It's a pretty dangerous place to go. Don't go there. Yeah, don't go there. So Jesus, in this passage, not talking about dangerous animals or dangerous places to go, but the most dangerous thing you can do, the sin that can never be forgiven. What does he mean? What does he mean? What is the sin that can never be forgiven? He's talking about this in a time when he has just healed a man who had a demon. So, you know, there's the healing event. Zap. What was wrong with the man from the verse? That's a question. What was wrong? You might need to turn back to the first page. Yeah, he was blind, one thing. Mute. And, sorry, demon possessed. Yeah, so, and those are actually one big problem. It's not three different problems. It was one big problem because the demon was there. The man was blind and was mute. That means he couldn't talk. But some people think the Bible's just weird when we read things like that. Does the Bible tell us that we've got to believe in fairies and goblins as well? Well, the Bible doesn't have fairies and goblins, but it is very clear that there are spirits, beings that we can't always see, that they're real, and that some of them are evil and want to hurt others. What's very clear in this passage is that Jesus is stronger than demons. He can get rid of a demon. And everyone can see that now because this man is better. There you go. He can see and he can talk, but he couldn't do those before. So we mustn't think, okay, church and the Bible and Jesus, well, that's for me and God, but I've got to go somewhere else to get help to deal with demons. Jesus can do the stuff with God in heaven, and I use Jesus for God in heaven, but when it's demons, I might need to go to another power or another source for help. No, the Bible's clear. Jesus is stronger than demons. And that means as well that the greatest danger is not demons. The greatest danger to humans is not demons. There's something else more dangerous. Because Jesus can keep us safe from demons. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us very much about all of this. We're really interested, aren't we? You know, what happened? What did that man say? What's the first thing? If you'd not been able to speak for ages, what the first thing you'd say? Well, some of us might say, you know, the TV that got broken last year, it wasn't me, it was my brother. We might say something like that, mightn't we? What's the thing you've been waiting to say and waiting to, but we don't know. Because actually, the Bible's telling us what's the most important things to know. And the Bible tells us we need to learn a lesson. Jesus says here, the people were thinking in a bad way. They were making a mistake. They were at risk of the greatest danger. This man was now healed, the people were there, and they were talking about it, lots of people, and they were saying, where is it, verse 23. Could this be the son of David? And the way that's written in the original language, they're saying, he can't really be. Nah, he's not, is he? He's not the king that God has promised to rule on David's throne forever. He can't be. And the reason they think he can't be is because he's not that impressive. He's not an army general. And when he teaches, he's not very boastful about how great he is. No, he can't be the one. That's what they're saying. And then there's some other people. Now, the Pharisees, what are they saying? The religious leaders, what are they saying about Jesus? Not quite. Better saying that the Pharisees are saying he's demon-possessed. It's connected to that. Have a look in the verse. Have a look in the verse before you. It's from the passage. What are they saying? Brilliant. Yeah, he's getting out demons by the devil. In verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it's only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. Beelzebub is another name for the devil or for Satan. The Satan in the Bible is the father of lies, who is against God, the God of all truth. That's what they're saying about him. And Jesus says that's all wrong. Over the page, verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Now, one of our special events this week was a football competition yesterday that Reese organised, and there was how many teams?
Five
teams were playing. Now, if one of those teams started playing against each other, they're not going to do very well, are they? You know, the midfielders start tackling their own forwards, and the defenders start trying to score the goal against their own goalie. That team is going to do badly in a competition. They're going to fall. And that's what Jesus is saying this idea means. That you're saying, Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, you're saying about me, I'm like Satan who's against Satan. And so Jesus asks a question in verse 26. What's the question he asks? Yeah, if he's against himself, and then what's the question? Someone else from Betty. Betty, give someone else a chance. Come on, you've got to read the Bible and see what is the question Jesus is asking in verse 27. No, verse 26. Sorry, verse 26. How can he and his kingdom stand? How are they going to carry on? They're going to fall. They're going to collapse. What is the answer to that question? That's a bit of a harder. He doesn't actually answer it straight away. What's the answer? If Satan's against Satan, how can he stand? What's the answer to that question? So, and then if I ask, how can he stand? The answer is, he can't. Yeah, he won't stand. Yeah. So Jesus is saying that makes no sense. There's no sense. Satan would sort of, he'd destroy himself quickly. All his workers, all his demons, they'll all be gone and it'd be finished. It can't be that's going on. So Jesus says, look at it another way. And we're going to jump on to verse 29. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. So Jesus says, it's not Satan fighting Satan. It's God's power. Grace read to us from the story of God's people in Egypt in the Old Testament when Pharaoh was a cruel king, making the people slave for him. They were like his prisoners. And they couldn't escape until God appeared and sent Moses. And Moses gave the message, I'm going to bring you out of Egypt and use my mighty power to do that. And it's the same sort of thing happening now, Jesus says. Satan is like a mighty bully, keeping people prisoner, putting demons in them. And the other way he makes people his prisoners is with his lies that people believe. And they believe his lies, and so they become his prisoners. And they can't escape until Jesus comes along and makes them free. That's what Jesus is saying is going on. It's like a strong man with his house. The house has got things in it. And another man comes along. How can that other man take the things from the house? I've got some things here. Special things you might want. There's some beautiful jewelry. That's called a tiara, isn't it? Yeah, special jewelry. My smartphone. Those of you who know me know that I wouldn't know how to work that, but one of those. No, they're in a house. They don't belong to the person, but that person's got them. How is someone else going to take them? They've got to come and overcome that strong person to be even stronger, and then they can take those possessions away. That's what plundering means. Well, let's think about being strong men, because I think I'm quite strong. Joel, would you like to come and help at this point? We'll have a look about deciding who is stronger. Joel, how tall are you?
16.
Okay, fine. Right. Well, we'll do an arm wrestling competition because I'm older than Joel, so I might be stronger than him. Just do a little bit of warming up. Joel, if you just want to look the other way. Okay, we're ready. Right, arm wrestling, okay? So it's going to be best of three?
Yeah.
Ready? Right, so the strongest person is going to win the most. It's probably going to be me. All right, ready? Oh, let's just move these things. Okay, steady on. I know you're nervous, aren't you? I can see. Yeah. Right. 3, 2, 1. Beginner's luck. Okay. Right, so that's one out of three. We're going to have another go. It's best of three, remember? Right. Oh, I forgot to say, children cheer for Joel, and the adults can cheer for me. All right. So let's hear some cheers. Okay. Well, I know I'm Joel and he's Joel. You can call me young Joel and less young, the other Joel. Okay. Joel and Joel, something like that. Ready? So this is 1-0 team, but it was lucky. Right. 3-2-1. Come on. Yeah. Did you see that? So what's the score now? 1-1. Right. Okay. Bit more cheering from my side, please. Ready?
Yeah.
So this is the third of three. The person who wins this is the winner, Joel, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're the strongest.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. 3-2-1. Give me a round of applause. Okay, that's a strong man. I'm really strong. And an even stronger man, the young Joel. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's saying that Satan is like a strong man. And the things in his house, it's not jewelries and smartphones. It's people. Satan's got people. And they are the things he's holding on to. And Jesus is even stronger. And Jesus comes along, and because he's stronger than Satan, what can he do? Verse 29, again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? So Jesus ties up Satan, and then he can plunder his house. Then he can rescue those people. That's what Jesus is doing. So Jesus says, it's not Satan against Satan. That would be like a football team playing against itself. They'd lose. It can't be that I'm doing these amazing things that you've just seen me doing. No, what it is I'm stronger than Satan. And so I'm setting people free. So the great danger for us is not Satan. It's not demons, because Jesus is stronger than them. What is the great danger? What is the lesson? Verse 31. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that's how Jesus talked about himself, will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. So this is, Jesus is making a lesson here, teaching a lesson about the things we say. And if we're going to say things against him or against the work of the Holy Spirit, blasphemy is a word there. It's a word we don't use very often. It means it's extreme lies. It's rudeness. It's saying terrible things about someone that are not true. And the Pharisees have been speaking blasphemies against Jesus. Remember, they said it's by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons, that he's doing his work. That's what Jesus is saying they're doing. What's the difference between these two kinds of wrong speaking? Because there's one kind that we can be forgiven and one that can't. Verse 31 again. I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Well, what are they doing here that can't be forgiven? We can be forgiven. People can be forgiven when they don't accept the message of Jesus. When they're not yet ready to understand it, or they've started to understand it, but they're scared of accepting it, they can be forgiven. There's still a chance to change. The crowd was saying, oh, you can't really be sure of Jesus. There's a chance for them to change, but they can't hang around forever. They need to make a change. But the sin of the Pharisees, what Jesus calls this a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is saying they can see that something's happened and they are saying it's a bad thing when it's a good thing. That's the problem with what they're doing. They're saying that light is really darkness. They're saying that truth is really lies. They're saying that good things, oh, it's not going to stick, are really bad things. That's what they're doing. And when they say those things about Jesus, they are cutting themselves off from the way of forgiveness. And so they can't be forgiven. That's the terrible danger. If you say to the person who is bringing life with God. Actually, you're evil. You're wrong. You're dangerous. I want to stay away from you. That's what the Pharisees were saying. You can't have life with God. You can't be forgiven. If you've got a driving test coming up and you refuse to look at the highway codes, you can't pass your test. You're the unteachable student. If you've got a disease, an illness, and there's only one kind of medicine that'll heal it, and you won't have it, you're an incurable patient. Your disease will not be better. If you're a human being and sin is in your life, which is all of us except for Jesus, and you reject the way of forgiveness, you have unforgivable sin. You see how the link works there? You're saying no to the way of forgiveness, the way of life. You can't be forgiven. So to say Jesus is using Satan's power is speaking against God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working with Jesus to free people from Satan, from demons, and to bring them home to God. And that's the greatest danger, is to actually to say what is light is dark, to say what is true is false, to say what is good is bad. Because you then can't get better. You can't pass the test. You can't be forgiven. You can't know God. Many people worry about this thing, the unforgivable sin. What is it? Have I done it? Is it too late? Well, it means today the same as it meant then. It means saying Jesus is a bad thing and I need to stay away from him. And he's causing evil. If you're saying that, you cannot be forgiven. Now, you're unlikely to be here this morning if you're saying that. But you might know people who say that. How might they do this? They might say, what the Bible says is sin isn't really sin. Well, if you say that, you won't ask for forgiveness. So an example might be they say, well, lying's okay, because we do that in my family or we do that in my culture. It's okay to lie. You're not going to ask for forgiveness. Or they might say, you don't need Jesus for forgiveness from God. I'm going to be a good neighbor and help my family and friends. And I'm sure that'll be enough. Well, that person is not going to be forgiven, are they? Because they're not seeking forgiveness with God. Or they might say, yeah, Jesus is not really king over all humans. He's only in charge of the people who go to church and follow him. But there's all the other religions and they're just as good, aren't they? That person can't be forgiven because Jesus is the only way to life with God. Some of you I know have got family who don't trust Jesus. Are they guilty of this terrible sin? Well, if they have seen this truth about Jesus and they are saying it's a lie and it's bad and it's wicked, they can't be forgiven. But have trust that God is a very kind God. It's possible they will change. Keep praying. Keep praying for them and asking him to change them. He is powerful enough to change them. But at the moment, in that attitude, they can't be forgiven forever. There are other people who are a bit like the crowds. No, I'm not sure about Jesus. Probably isn't, is he? Probably not that important. Won't really get involved. And that's dangerous too. Jesus says, don't be like that. Beware of that. But lastly, if you do trust Jesus, you are safe. You are safe from Satan. You are safe from demons. And you are safe from the greatest danger of all, which is the danger of not being forgiven. So praise God for that. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray.